Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
I have the privilege of getting to share with you this morning, and Bree got me all emotional. She got me all emotional. Thank you, worship team, so much. We're spoiled. I guess I'm the only one who thinks that. I do not come to you this morning hoping to dazzle you with knowledge. I don't come hoping to dazzle you with that, wow, look at what I have to say. I understand that that's a stumbling block in 1 Corinthians. But my goal is to dazzle you by a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. By who he is, not by anything that I could ever try to say to pull something out of you, you know? And like, oh, come on, grab this. And I also come to you as a man who's on his own journey of refinement. Okay, the message that I have for you this morning is titled Roots. And it is all about spiritual roots, all about all sorts of kind of stuff. And I do not have this figured out. So if you need a reminder of that during the service, just slip up your hand, I'll remind you, okay? I want to approach this as an us and a we conversation as we approach this topic, because it can be a little bit heavy, and I do plan on poking some buttons. If you know me well, I have to. I do plan on challenging you. I do plan on saying, hey, what can we do better? Okay? All right. I'm just making sure that I'm not muted. as we talk through this, spiritual roots, I want to invite you, if you are a note taker, get your notes ready, get your notes out. Let's get present with the Lord. But this is a roots message. And frankly, a roots message, I have to mention Jeremiah 17, right? Right? And if you don't know it, you do know it, you just don't know the address. It's, oh, let's be trees planted next to streams of water. Yes? We all know, and you're like, oh yeah, that's that one. And I have a tension with this verse, and there is a tension that resides in this verse, and it is before and then after, and I have a wrestling match with this verse. Frankly, it's a good verse. It's like, okay, cool. I bring gusto to this. It's like, I want to be that tree planted next to water. But verse 7 says, I have to trust and hope in the Lord. And there's that tension, right? It's like, because it's easier to trust in myself. It's easier to trust in my finances. It's easier to trust in my career. It's easier to do those things. It's easier to trust in parents, whatever it might be, right? But we have to trust in and hope in the Lord and be planted next to the streams. So that's my first tension. My second tension is probably where I wrestle more, and it's heat will come and drought will come, but their leaves are green and their fruit is still produced. And if you're anything like me, that's a great tension because sometimes my leaves are not green. And sometimes my fruit is actually non-existent. Anybody resonate with this? Right? There's this tension in that verse where it's just like, oh yeah, of course, it sounds so simple, right? It's like, oh, we read this, let's put it on a bumper sticker, you know, that's good. And like, duh, that's just what we do. But then we have to come to terms with the tension that resides in this, yes? The tension that resides in this is because I resonate more with ungreen leaves and crappy fruit. Anybody planted a tomato garden and, oh wow, I didn't know I planted cherry tomatoes, right? That's funny. But here we collide with this tension of the word and the truth saying one thing, but my demonstration of life saying something completely opposite. Yes? Anybody understanding what I'm talking about? right? There is this huge tension in this verse, and sometimes, frankly, we've rewritten this verse. And our verse that we say is in Scripture, but actually really isn't in Scripture, it says, blessed are those who kind of trust in the Lord and hope he is who he might be, for they for are entitled to green leaves and proper fruit. Right? And you're like, preach that message, pastor. It's like, well, I can't. That's heresy. Or there's another verse that we find in Scripture that's not actually in Scripture, and it is similar to that, but it's blessed to those who trust in the Lord only in certain areas or only when things are good, for they will be like, ... Right? And I fully acknowledge, you know, it's way easier to trust in the Lord when he does the things that I expect him to do the way I expect him to do it. Yes? But then, again, another tension. Here comes another tension, and like, hey, God, you don't think the way I think, and you don't do the way, you don't do the things that I think you should do in the way that you think all of it. His ways look different than the way I would do it if I were God. Right? And here resides yet another tension that we have with this trust and hoping and being planted next to these streams. And frankly, the thing is like, okay, how weird would it be if you were to walk up in the middle of winter to a tree and it's a banana tree and there's snow all over it and it's still thriving, right? That would be weird. We'd have some tension with that. We'd be like, something's weird going on, right? And that's weird to us. That's very unnatural to us. But what this scripture is saying, that that should actually be kingdom reality. And here resides another tension. Because I've never seen an apple tree produce really good fruit in the midst of winter, in the midst of a blizzard, right? You with me? His ways look different than the ways I expect him to work. So if you have your scriptures, let's turn to Matthew 13, verse 1. And when you're there, say golf. Whoa, did you feel that? The anointing just... green pastures, you know? Masters just happened. It was lovely. I've never seen so many bad, good golfers in the midst of wind. Sorry. Matthew 13, verse 1. Ready? The same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside, went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, here we go. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed. He sowed some seeds, and they fell among the path or the road, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. The other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. We've heard this, yeah? It's a cool parable. We like talking about this parable. And of course, it's a roots message, so I have to talk about this parable in some capacity, right? And this is usually called the parable of the sower or the parable of the four soils, yes? Or maybe yours has something to the effect of it. But as I was kind of reading this parable, and I revisit the Gospels every year, so I try to read the Gospels every single year, and I collide with this parable, and frankly, a couple things. It frustrates me. It annoys me how reckless this farmer or this sower is, right? Doesn't, like, come on. Shouldn't he just plant in the good soil? He knows where it is. Like, what's he doing? Like, why is he just like skipping through the farm, throwing seeds wherever he wants? And then he's just like, oh man, the birds got it. What am I gonna do, right? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's so like, it's so frustrating, right? It's like, that's so inefficient. It's so inefficient. But I feel like, and as I've been like reading this and dwelling on this, and I feel like this parable is actually more about roots than it is about soils. Though we focus on the soils a lot, and we'll talk about the soils, but it's a matter of, okay, what are the roots actually doing, and why are those plants not actually thriving? You with me? So to kind of set the tone, I mean, we've got these four soils, right? The road or the path, right? Rocky places, the thorns, and the good stuff. And all but one of these has a demise, where something can't grow, where something is unable to grow. Yeah? So my first question I want to pose to you this morning is, where do you want to set roots? Where do you want to set roots? Anybody want to answer? Good soil, right? And that's our knee-jerk one, right? Good soil. And I don't want to make too much fun of you, okay? And yeah, that's a good thing. We should want to plant in good soil. But how many of you have come to terms with the reality that all four soils exist in you right now? Right? And what a shame it would be if I said, for instance, this little box that I'm standing on, this is the only place that on the confines of this stage that has good soil. And I'm wasting all of this other, if I can say, potential. Yeah? Because frankly, this whole concept of Eden and like re-Edening me, right? Like that's the whole, I know that sounded so weird coming out of my mouth too. But this whole concept of like, how do I refine me and what does it look like in me? And if I'm only focusing on good soil, am I actually missing my full potential of what the Lord has in store for him to be honored in my life? So, I almost fell. We all have set roots in things, yes? And good soil is great. I love good soil. But we've all set roots in things like career, family, maybe, I don't know, finances, hobbies, whatever it might be. We all have roots that we've set. Not that they're all bad. I'm not painting those things bad. It's good to be a good present dad in your family. It's good to be a present mom in your family. It's good to care about your finances. I'm not painting those poorly. But frankly, where do you want to be rooted? Frankly, I want to be rooted in the Lord. And you knew I was going to say that. We're at church. Yes? Be really weird if I said anything else. We want to be rooted in the Lord. Do you want to be rooted in the Lord? Therefore, we can't only focus on good soil. What? Well, you just all agreed with me that you have road soil, you've got rocky soil, you got thorny soil. Yes? I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. We've all acknowledged that, so now I'm at another tension. I'm at another crossroads of what do I do? How do I wrestle with this? How do I make some good soil? So I want to journey to say that this parable is actually more about how do I give capacity and capability to setting roots in my life, pointing towards the Lord. Yes? Because we all have rocky, we all have roads, we've all got thorns. And I want to challenge you in the sense of, hey, we've got to do some work. Let me set it this way. If I got a group of guys, let's say, who do I want to mess with? Dan. We've got a group of guys, Dan, Jason, and Ethan. And I say, guys, guess what we're going to do? And they're like, what, Lex? Right? what? What are you going to do? And I say, let's plant a garden in I-25. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? He's truly lost his mind. What's happening, right? Because that's a road. That's a very busy road. It's a dreaded road. We won't talk about that. It's a road. But how many of you know I could erode that road to then make some good soil? What would it take? A lot of work, right? And Dan would be pulling away, right? And like, it would take a lot of work, but it's still, we're still able to. What I want to poke is there's roads in your life, but if you continue to avoid them, you're just taking the easy Christianity. The easy Christianity is here's your silver spoon, here's your good soil, take a bite, sweetheart. Or, and this is where we've become today, where we're all so like entitled, of course the Lord's gonna do a work in my life because, whoa, 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 whoa. We gotta work. We've gotta do something. We've gotta go get some excavators in some areas of our life, right? Some of it needs some serious work. Like, come on, anybody? Right? Like, some of it needs really, really dug up. Some of us just need to scoop some things up and sift out the rocks. Some of us need to weed out some things, right? Because in the thorns, it almost points to very capable soil. It's just the things around that's messing with it. Yeah? That's hurting the root system. It's not saying, oh, well, the soil was bad. It's actually pointing to actually a pretty good soil. There's just wrong things growing. Because we all have these things. And sometimes, again, the bad soils get the bad rap. Again, because it's easier to preach a message, hey, let's plant, let's get on good soil, babies, and let's do this thing. Instead of what I'm going to tell you today is you've got some roads in your life that are rutted out, that are packed very, very hard, and what are we gonna do? So let me give you some examples of like what a road in life could be. What a road could be is, I don't know, this is the way I am mentalities. What it could be is, oh, that doesn't really dazzle me that much about the Lord. What it could be is if we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. And don't mess with that. Don't poke that. Or as jaded areas in our life or numb things in our life where it's just like, oh, of course he's holy. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. What? Those are roads in our life, right? They're packed down, they're hard. Those sometimes are the hardest ones to wrestle with and the hardest ones to dig up to create that good soil. But then we also have rocky soils, yes? Where, whoa, the Lord, right? We're so excited, the Lord was here, right? Bree could lead us into some incredible worship on a Sunday and we're all weeping in here, every hand in the building's up, and then Tuesday hits. Ugh. Who is he? Where are you, Lord? And those birds come and snatch up and quench and kill. Sometimes we just need to start setting up some scarecrows in those areas, get those birds out of there. But digging it up so that we can get to the good stuff, yeah? Then we have the thorns, which is the obvious one, right? It's the one that's most popular, especially when you're saying, hey, get involved in community or else this is you, right? Yeah, hello? All right, no. All right, the thorny areas is I am putting myself in environments that maybe I shouldn't be putting myself into. And I'm surrounding myself with
toxic mentalities and toxic thoughts or Fox News or CNN, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm Chicken Little now. And the sky is truly falling. Instead of, behold, look at the Lord. Instead of, whoa, I'm gonna put my nose in scripture and let him steer my path and let him weed out the crap, if I'm allowed to say that, right? Let him deal with it. Yeah? Just need to get rid of some weeds sometimes, right? My life needs to be rooted in him to fully allow him to be honored and glorified properly. Okay? Again, we have to talk about fruit when we're in this conversation, because if we don't talk about fruit, we've got another tension. Because frankly, tell me where the fruit is in those soils, somebody. Only the good soil, right? That's the only place we can achieve fruit, yes? Unless we work and take some care on the other stuff. And back to my analogy, it would be really weird to see a snow-covered apple tree bearing much fruit. Or mango tree or whatever. I'm trying to think of something tropical. I'm not a big tropic guy, but you know, you get my point? Like, it would be very foreign to us. And frankly, what we've done is we've made fruit about feeding myself. And let me say it this way. I'm an apple tree, okay? Everybody pretend I'm an apple tree. You got it? Okay, I'm an apple tree. I have very much apples. Very much apples. Put that on a t-shirt, right? I have a lot of apples, and therefore I've got to eat apples to sustain myself. And you're like, what? That's weird. You're right, that is weird. So why do we do it? Why do we do it as Christians of like, oh, I'm bearing fruit to prove my obedience to myself? Look at how holy I am to myself. Look at that. Whoa. Instead of, it's actually for us to produce fruit for him in order for him to divvy it out amongst his people and for him to be proven and for him to be glorified. Yes? Are you with me? But we, you know, us Christians love to say, oh, I'm just in a season, brother. And here's my excuse for why I'm not bearing fruit. And here's an excuse for why my leaf is dead and falling on the ground and good for absolutely nothing, right? See, I'm in a season, but another tension, guys, here we are again. 2 Timothy 4 says I'm supposed to be prepared in and out of season. And again, easier said than done, duh. And again, your reminder, I don't have it figured out, okay? I'm working on it. My goal is to say, hey, community, I need your help. I need your help to point me more towards the Lord, to point each other more towards the Lord, instead of, let me show you how spiritual I am. And making it that kind of competition in a church. Frankly, the fruit is for him and only him. Yes? If we can grab that, we've got the keys to the kingdom. So my second question, how do you want to set roots? So right, we've got where do you want to be rooted? And how do you want to be rooted? Again, I think of this tree in Jeremiah 17. Like, that is such a foreign concept to us, that it's always producing fruit. But why? It's tapped into the source. It's tapped 100% into the source. So therefore, that's how I need to set my roots. Is tapping into the source and doing the work necessary and taking the care necessary so that I can erode the rocky areas of my life and erode the roads of my life and pull the weeds of my life so that therefore, that's how I want to set roots. I want to set roots in every area of my life that are all tapped in, if I can use that language, to the Lord. Do you? Because if you truly want that, I'm sorry, sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes you're going to have calluses on your hands that are going to rip back because of the amount of tilling that you're doing. Sometimes you're going to wake up with a sore back, not just because you slept wrong. Right? It requires work. So if I truly want to have all my potential of this platform, just for sake of example, if I want all of this potential to bear much fruit for the King, I have to do some work. I have to do some work. And yeah, I'm telling you, silver spoon Christianity will only go so far. Where it's just like, oh, I'm just going to only pay attention to the good soil areas of my life, and I'm just going to wander around lying to myself about how freaking holy I am. But come on, right? There's got to be more. There's got to be more in the Lord than what we have done. What will make you, again, for lack of a better term, get dirty and get dirt under your fingernails and reach into the depths of you to find the deep things of Christ? What will it take? Right? Yeah, and easier said than done, but like, really think, what would it take for me to remove mentalities of the way I think the Lord is that he's actually not? Right, and I made the joke about scriptures that we've called scriptures that aren't actually scriptures. We do that all the time, right? Whether we want to acknowledge it or not. That's a Bible we have memorized. Sometimes you have to dig deep to get the good stuff. And is that worth it for us? Is that worth it for us to actually get to the depth? I'll close with this story. Bree, don't come up yet. Years ago, me and Madison, my wife, lived in a different house. And it was right by Arapahoe and Parker. And we were on 3 acres. It was an awesome house. We got married in the backyard of that house. It was so sweet. We had a great taco truck, right? We're simple people. That's where our house church really blossomed at the time when we were pastoring our house church before Encounter. And it was just this wonderful time in our lives. But there was one day in the year of 2020 where we were a little bored, right? And we looked at it for obvious reasons, right? We looked at each other and said, hey, make a garden, right? Make a garden. And we picked a piece of land that on our plot of land that was not tended to very well. It wasn't paid attention to very much. So we said, this will be perfect because it's got a fence around it and it's going to be just awesome. There's water already next to it. This is going to be great. So then I approached this very arrogantly, if I can say so myself. Okay, I approached it very arrogantly and I had a shovel in hand. And I said, I'm going to turn this soil with a shovel in hand. And I spent an entire day and I probably got a 5x5 square done, which probably speaks to my manliness, but whatever. But then I was like, what am I gonna do? Because my hands are ripped apart now. And it was just not a good situation. So I went to the beloved Home Depot, right? Home Depot people, not Lowe's people. Home Depot people. If you're a Lowe's person, we'll pray for you after service. I'm just joking. But we went and rented a tiller and it sucked. It did. you get that tiller out, you fire that thing up, and there's everything on your body jiggling that you didn't know that was there. And it's just like, oh no. And everything's jiggling and it's just bad. And it was awful. It was terrible. It took work. And you know, I went and made lemonade and Madison brought it across the finish line. I'm just joking. But it was like this brutal, brutal work that we were doing together and, you know, big time couples bonding, right? We finally got to a point where it's just like, we're pretty close. We're almost there. We're about a month in. I'm just joking. We're about a week in and we're pretty close. And therefore, then I see my nemesis. Like a nemesis in a piece of land? Yeah. Anybody heard of a Canadian thistleweed? Yeah. My nemesis. Because I didn't know, right? I'm a 30-year-old millennial. I didn't know that if you cut a Canadian thistleweed, it actually encourages growth. And it actually becomes stronger. So me and all of my millennialists cuts it again, baby. Grows back stronger. I cut it again. Stronger. And I'm like, what is happening? Why is this thing so terrible? And I tell you that story because I think that's the way we deal with our shortcomings and sin. And you're like, what? Let me tell you why. The Canadian thistleweed has a root system that actually grows horizontally and is all connected underneath the ground. And every single little Canadian thistleweed that you see is actually buddies with the one on the other side of your land. And then they've got this big old plant called the mother plant that I call it. I don't know if that's what it's actually called. But they're all intertwined. They're all intertwined. And I think most of us as Christians, and again, I promise I'm closing. Most of us as Christians only deal with the thing that's popping out from the dirt. Right? That's the only thing we deal with. Like, okay, here's my ground and poof, oh. But how many of you know when you see one Canadian thistleweed, you've got a bigger issue on your hand? There's already root systems underneath the ground that you're in trouble. And frankly, we've made Christianity about just, okay, eliminating the surface. But then it comes back. Rah! And then you eliminate it again, and it comes back. And it's this perpetual cycle that we get locked into on our sin and our shortcomings. So what's that mean? Like, okay, I can't stop cheating on my wife. Is that actually the sin that's taking place, or is that the manifestation of a root that has taken place in your life? Because, all right, cool. Great job. You stopped cheating on your wife, but now you've got a porn issue. Oh, cool. You stopped doing that. All right. Now you're stealing from so-and-so. Now, all of these, do you get what I'm talking about? It's a perpetual cycle that is popping and popping and popping unless we dig some things up. Unless we are a people who are willing to say, give me that stinking shovel. I want this out of my life and I'm gonna dig it up. I am so sick of this insanity in my life. Give me the shovel. I need to dig it up. Because if you don't dig it 100% up, you've got an issue. But I mean, look at it on the flip side too, right? That's the sin stuff. That's not a popular topic, right? But think of it in just like serving the Lord kind of stuff. Oh, wow, you're really anointed in that area. Well, it's because you've set a root of humility in your life. Oh, wow, you're a worshiper. Oh, why? Because I've set a root of understanding who my King is. And watch the sprouts from there. And that won't be a stupid Canadian thistleweed. It'll be something lovely. It'll be something that actually bears fruit that just isn't annoying. It's something that the Lord actually profits from, doesn't get ripped off from. Are you with me? Isn't that cool? So that's my invitation. How much attention are you paying to your roots? Are you paying enough attention to say, Lord, where am I actually planted? How am I actually planted? What do I do with all of this? Because Lord, all I feel like I'm doing is sin maintenance. Let me grab the shovel with you and we can dig up some roots. I would love to help you in that. Just as much as I would hope that you would love to do that with me. Right? Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? So Bree, you can, and I'll close this. So where do you want to set roots? How do you want to set roots? And the biggest one is, what are your roots telling you about you and about your status with the Lord? What's it actually doing? What are your roots telling you? What's it highlighting to you? And yeah, I get it. Sometimes this is skeletons in the closet kind of talk. I get it. But man, let's clear it out. Let's clean it up. Let's say, Lord, I only want you. I want everything burst out of you, Lord. I want you to be my source so that there is no waterless place. I am saturated. I want the my cup runneth over from David, right? I want to be just so tapped in to him, so locked in, like Davis Clark says, with him, right? That's what I want. I want to be with him. What are my roots actually saying? How great of a king that allows us to produce fruit for him. How great of a king. And may we be a people that produce the best stuff. May you, may Encounter Church, may I, may the kids ministry, youth ministry, whatever ministry that takes place in this place, may we be a place that gives the finest of fruits. May we be a place that says, hey, I don't want just your Sunday best anymore. I want to see the depths of you. I want to see the man, the woman that the Lord has called you to be. Not just sin maintenance, but a person who beholds, a person who's postured, a person who's planted. Can I pray for you? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I ask you to start ministering to every single person in this room, specifically for them right now. Pray that you would highlight the areas that are rocky. Pray that you would highlight the areas that are path. Highlight the thorns. Holy Spirit, you would do the work. Holy Spirit, I pray that as we go about our week, that you would remind us that this wouldn't just be another Sunday, but that you would remind us of, where am I planted right now? When Thursday rolls around, where am I planted? Lord, who am I in you right now? May we be a people who lock arms with each other and who want to see you rightly. We want to produce the best, finest, and proper fruit. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.